Chapter 7. Amen. Let me read to you a few verses to get back into the mindset of what's happening here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me." That sets context because it helps us to remember that when Paul is addressing the issues that he's dealing with in chapter 7 and then to come, he is dealing with issues that they actually brought to his attention. They wrote him a letter and they said in the letter the things that, the sins that were needing to be dealt with. Look at verse 2. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife." So basically what Paul is first of all dealing with is how to help those that are, you know, single in the area of relationships to avoid fornication. And then he goes on and in the next section, he wants to help those that are married. Verse 10, "And unto the married command," I command, yet not I, but the Lord, "let not the wife depart from her husband." And so Paul then begins to go from the single people and he speaks to directly the married people and explains, reaffirms the marriage commitment in that section. And then he transitions today once again back to those that are single. Verse 25, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment." So what he says there is that he's not going to quote directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, but it does not mean that what he is about to say is not divine in its message. So this morning, let's go to God in prayer and ask for His special blessings on this message that God would speak to us this morning. Father, we need You, and I need You, and so I pray for Your help, and I pray for Your blessings, and I pray for the church that You would, Lord, bless Your church and help us as we seek to be obedient to You in the teaching and preaching of Your word, that You'd be honored in it all, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. There was a teen in the youth group whenever I was a youth director who was dating somebody behind the scenes and nobody knew about it. And it was a person who wasn't in church. It was a person who wasn't saved. And this teen was in church. Their parents were in church and they were saved. Or at least, you know, that was what their testimony was. But they were dating this person and nobody really knew about it. And then they graduated and went off to Bible college and sort of broke it off for a time with this person that they had been dating and went to college for a year, came back. And when they were back from college for a break, got reacquainted with this person that they had been dating and just decided to go down a path that wasn't a good path. And made big mistakes. And now they'll be suffering the consequences of their decision for the rest of their life because of that decision that they've made. And I've seen a lot of young people in my ministry to make decisions like that. And it breaks my heart. This morning, relationships are causing a lot of problems in the lives of people. Not just young people. I would say primarily young people are struggling in the area of relationships because there's a lot of pressure there. And we'll talk some about that today. But it's not just young people. It's just people generally who have no idea what it means to have a godly relationship or how to even go about establishing a godly relationship. And so Paul wants to help the church. He wants to help them to deal with the relationship issues that they're having. And I'm thankful for that because when Paul addresses the issues that he is going to address in the church, it gives practical knowledge to you and to me. And so that it'll keep those of you that are here this morning that whether you're a parent or whether you're a young person or somebody who would be interested in relationships along the way to avoid making big mistakes in the area of relationships. And so the counsel is practical, and it's timely and godly, and I'm thankful for what Paul is going to teach the church. And you know, and I'm also thankful for expositional preaching, because you know, whenever you as a pastor are trying to think of what you're going to be preaching about, if that's how you operate, I wonder what I'm going to preach about on Sunday morning. Usually the topic that we're going to deal with today wouldn't be a topic of, you know, choice for a Sunday morning, but we're preaching through the Bible, and we allow God to choose the topics in that way. And so this morning, God has chosen to give us a topic that has to do with dealing with relationships. And I want you to know, everybody is touched by this morning, because you are either an influence, or are you are one who needs to make a decision about a relationship. Currently in that position, or you will be in that position. And so Paul has wrote already, as we have addressed, to help these Christians to avoid fornication. That's a blessing. And at all cost, if you would move forward in relationships and establishing relationships that are godly, it should be your biggest or greatest desire to avoid fornication, because it creates big problems in your life, doesn't it? Yeah. And there's a lot of sin that you can commit, but in the Proverbs, you'll see that there are sins that will affect you physiologically, spiritually, biologically. And that would be one of them, that it affects you in an emotional way, that it's really hard, and in some ways, you cannot recover. And so there's warnings, and there are messages in the Scriptures that give guidance to young people and to adults as they lead young people and adults that need to make these decisions themselves. And so he wrote to help avoid fornication. He also wrote to help them maintain the commitment in their marriage relationship. And it might be, as I remind you this morning, for some of you that are married and you are currently living in that relationship, that you would be one who is decided to be committed. Remain committed. Do you think that the devil leaves you alone? Do you think that he won't tempt you with divorce, the potential for divorce, or even the thoughts of divorce? I submit to you this morning that he won't leave you alone about it. And so you need to decide this morning to remain committed in your marriage relationship, understanding that if your spouse is wrong with God and not walking with God, and you're struggling in that relationship in some way, that God wants to use you to be a vessel to bring them to God. I testify to you this morning that I had a conversation. God allowed me to have a conversation with my sister whose husband is lost, and she has a testimony of salvation, and she struggles. And I shared with her, as she's been out of church, these scriptures, because we have been preaching through this, and I tell you, tears were coming to her eyes as I could see, almost hear her thoughts, as she didn't say out loud, but I could almost hear her thoughts if she's contemplated some of the things that she was hearing and the struggle that she was having. And I encouraged her, as I encourage you, church, and as Paul is encouraging these believers, remain committed. Allow God to use you to be that vessel to win your spouse, whether they're lost or whether they're just away from God. And we don't have time to redo that message, but let me encourage you to renew your commitment every time you have those doubts or struggles. Amen. And so today, Paul readdresses the relationships issue, as he has already talked to singles, and he says, I want you to avoid fornication, didn't he? And then he goes to married couples and he says, I want you to renew your commitment to the marriage relationship and establish a vision of reaching your lost or wayward spouse. And then we move into the next and final topic in the area of relationships, as he goes back to the singles and he says, I want you to move forward in your relationship by understanding how God wants you to be godly while you're single. There could be nothing that would be more important for you, single young person today, or single person in any way this morning, than to be godly. Than to be godly. Contrary to popular belief, as singles, Paul submits that it should be easier for us, or rather for you, to be used of God and to be more used of God in the area of service. As a single, they shouldn't have been distracted by romance, should they? If they're single, then they shouldn't have been distracted by the relationship that would be between a husband and a wife. But if they are thinking about the pursuit of a relationship all the time, then it then would become a distraction, wouldn't it? And it would get between them and God. And it would hinder their walk. It would hinder their effectiveness for God because they've allowed themselves to be distracted. And so Paul wants to encourage them to be godly and to approach this thing of establishing relationships in a godly manner, which will require faith, won't it? And Paul was an example. Look at verse 25. He says, now concerning virgins. And so it's clear that he is making a transition. He was speaking to married couples, and he did that all the way up to verse 24, starting in verse 10. We did that last time. Now today he's transitioning, and he says, now concerning virgins. So we'll make a little bit more broad in our application and just say single Christians, okay? As opposed to those that are here that are married. He says, I have no commandment from the Lord. He's not saying his message isn't divine or from God. He's simply saying, I'm not quoting from Jesus. He says, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be what? What's that last word in verse 25? Faithful. And if we could give context here to those that are single who God wants to use this morning in a great and in a greater way than you even thought possible, it starts by understanding that God is faithful and he uses faithfulness. That's where it begins. And the root word of faithful is faith. And it's going to be hard for you, church, to be faithful if you don't have faith. And so have faith in this message this morning. He didn't want them to be consumed with the pursuit of romance, the pursuit of relationships. He says in verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. He said it twice, that somebody who's single, we automatically think this is bad. This is bad. I'm single. I need to have a relationship. And Paul says, no, this can be a good thing. We're just seeing it from the wrong perspective. Some of you are getting nervous. Some of you girls, I see you're getting nervous. God wants me to be single for the rest of my life. Not the case. Not the case. But he sure wants it to be good while you are single. And it can be. It can be great. Verse 27, art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. What's he saying there? He's not saying this. Listen. He's not saying that he doesn't have somebody for you. But if you are a single teen, and you need to listen to every word I say this morning. Every word. If you're single at all this morning, you need to listen to every word I say. If you're not single, listen from the perspective of one day you're going to be one who gives guidance, okay? You're going to give counsel, instructions. So take note. But if you're single, oh my goodness, do not go to sleep during this one. He says, are you a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Or a husband or wife, seek not to be loosed. If are you single, he says, seek not a wife. What's he saying there? Here's what he's saying. Let me tell you what he's not saying. Some of you are nervous. He's not saying that God doesn't have somebody for you. He's not saying that. He's saying, do not allow yourself to become lost or consumed with the pursuit of a romantic relationship. Don't get out there and seek for a relationship. That's what he said. Don't seek it. And that's what we need to understand he's saying here. Verse 27, art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. Okay? Verse 28, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. That's good news. And if a wife, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So Paul obviously wasn't against marriage. God would always bless the marriage commitment. And of course, as we already saw in our last one, God has confirmed the marriage commitment. And so when he says, seek not a wife, he's simply saying, do not be consumed with the pursuit of trying to find a spouse. He didn't want them to become lost in the pursuit. And I want you to know, this is a pervading thing in society today. I remember when I was in college, and college-aged young people are really overcome with this. This idea of the pursuit, and it doesn't just, you know, it's not like it starts in college. It starts way before that, and we'll talk about that here in a little while to come. But I remember when I was in college, I had friends that, one friend in particular, that the only thing that I ever remember about him in college is that his girlfriends, you know, all the girls that he was interested in. It's funny that I said girlfriends, usually it has to be both ways on that. Most of the time, they weren't as interested in him as he was them. And so we would be together and we would talk, and he would tell me about somebody he's interested in, which was fine. I wasn't like that. You know, I found the one that I was interested in, and that was it. We won't go much more into that. But he had this one, and then he was interested in this one, and he was interested in that one. It was the only thing I remember about the guy, you know? Matter of fact, I got to tell you this. Whenever I was there, there was a girl that he was interested in, and I just so happened to sit at the same lunch table as her. And whenever you do that, guess what you probably do? Like, you talk to each other, right? So I was talking to her. I wasn't interested in her. We were just talking. And I think sometimes, especially if you're at Heartland, if you talk to a girl, everybody assumes that you're going to get married to each other. So anyway, I was just talking to her because we sat at the same table. And later on that day, this guy who was interested in her pulled me aside and he said, I saw you talking to her. He wanted to know if I was moving in on her. Like, what are you talking about? No, you know, but he was lost in the pursuit. And this is just what Paul is saying as he addresses the church. The implication here is they should give themselves to the Lord and not allow themselves to be lost in this romantic pursuit of relationships. He says, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. What he means here is he's giving practical advice. He's simply saying that whenever the marriage relationship begins, it brings along with it certain challenges. And anybody who's here this morning who's married, you would agree with that. It doesn't mean that you don't have a romantic love for your spouse and that your hearts aren't together and you're not what God wants you to be. It doesn't mean that. It just means the marriage relationship brings along with it certain challenges that somebody who's single doesn't have. And that's all he's saying here. I spare you is just saying I'm giving you wise counsel. So take heed to the counsel that I'm giving to you, because these challenges that you are seeking and pursuing and consumed with, and you just can't think about almost anything else in life, you have no idea that this pursuit is in you creating challenges for your service to God. So clearly Paul is teaching them to give themselves wholly to the Lord while they are single. Look at verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. And that's fairly practical, as he wants them to learn to... As he wants them to learn to trust in God, he says the time is short, verse 29. It remaineth that both they that have wives as they be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. And then, of course, the whole point that he's trying to make here, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So in other words, what he's saying here, the time is short and the fashion of this world is passing away. He says there's a fixed amount of time in this life and the time is drawing closer and closer and closer, and he's exhorting themselves not to invest themselves in the things of this world that are going to pass away. In other words, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Our life is like the wick of a candle. The scriptures say that it's like a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. The wick of a candle, it eventually burns up, doesn't it? And it's over. And so our time is short. And Paul is saying, he's giving all of these analogies as those that weep and those that weep not. And what he's saying here, it's like what Jesus said in Luke 14, 26. This is what Jesus said. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And those are pretty strong words from Jesus, who says, if you want to come to me, you have to hate your father, hate your mother, hate your children, hate your sister, and hate his own life in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What he's saying here is, in a sense, that we need to allow nothing to come between us and God. Now, he's not saying in a literal sense that he wants Christians or he wants these Christians to hate his wife or hate his family necessarily in that way. But what he's saying is, don't let anything come between you and God. And that's what Paul is saying here. The time is short. And these relationships have the potential of coming between them and their relationship with God, because relationships had a tendency to consume. Yeah. It would cause them to be lost in some kind of a relationship pursuit, and then they're not effective for God because they're focused on this relationship. Yeah. God says, this is a waste of time. They should determine to give their heart to God, because romance would consume them if they didn't. How would it consume them? Look at verse 32. Paul said, but I would have you without carefulness. Do you see that? Carefulness. And so what Paul is saying here is, if they aren't committed to God and they're allowing these relationships and the idea of the pursuit of a relationship to overcome them so that they are lost in some kind of a pursuit, then what Paul is saying is they would be overwhelmed or full of carefulness. That word carefulness means anxiety or worry. So let me ask you a question, church. Are people who are in relationships, do they tend to be worried? Do they tend to have anxieties? Paul is saying they do. I think if we would be honest about it, we would agree. Do people who are consumed with relationships allow these worries and anxieties affect their walk with God? Of course. So in contrast, an unmarried Christian could focus on pleasing God instead of their spouse. And that's the point that Paul is making. Look at verse 32, the last part. He says, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So Paul isn't trying to make life hard here. He's not trying to say that he didn't want people to be married. He's simply emphasizing that if they were in a relationship, then it would affect their usefulness. If they were consumed with relationships while they're single, then it would affect their ability to be effective for God or useful for the things of God. That's what he's saying. He's already emphasized that he's not against marriage. He's emphasized that God isn't against marriage. And God has emphasized in the scripture that he blesses marriage. So that's not the point. The point is, while somebody is single, God wants them to be useful. And Paul's point is, if somebody is single, they ought to be able to be more useful for God. The problem is, so often, the young people apparently were getting consumed with romance, and it was affecting their ability to be useful to God. And that's why Paul is addressing this. Verse 35, "This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you." That sounds fairly plain, doesn't it? Is Paul trying to make life terrible for us, for you? Those of you who are single, is he trying to make life terrible? No, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without, what's the last word of verse 35? Without distraction. And so the first thing that somebody who is consumed with romance and consumed with relationships is carefulness, anxiety and worry. The second thing he says is distraction. And it's not to cast a snare, but to protect. And so that's why I say, as your pastor, mercy, listen to this. That worry, that anxiety, that stress that comes along with relationships, God says, you don't need that. You don't have to have that. And then distraction that keeps a young person or a single person who are distracted in relationships from being servants for God. Distraction means separation or a drawing apart. I tell you, one of my favorite things to do in the whole world is just to, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, is just to sit and talk to my wife. It's one of my very favorite things to do. And we go on dates, and it's awesome. We don't even have to do anything. Just be together and talk, and it's awesome. And so, you know, we had, when we were married, we had so many times where it was just her and me, and we would talk, and those were really special times. And then four distractions came along. That's exactly what happened. Matter of fact, we were talking this morning behind a closed door, just talking, and they were on the other side of the door. Mom! Mom, are you in there? I'm not in here. Go away. Four distractions. Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting married. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with having a relationship that's been established by God. But we have to understand something. A person who is lost in the pursuit of relationships is distracted and cannot be close to God like they need to be. They couldn't be wholly given to God. Yeah. Do young people get distracted today? Do young people get consumed today with relationships? I remember taking teens to church camp as a youth director. And one of the most frustrating things about going to church camp is all the relationships that started to happen. You know, all these kids that were there to hear from God, and all these relationships start connecting, or, you know, or at least they're trying to make all of these relationships to happen. And it's even more frustrating whenever adults are contributing or trying to help it to happen. And I remember days going to camp where, as a youth director, one of the most distracting things that could happen at church camp is, you know, guy-girl relationship things, you know, where they're trying to woo the others, you know, through all kinds of things. And then you've got adults over there that are encouraging it. And kids aren't hearing from God like they need to, because they have all this relationship going on, stuff going on around them. I started Googling some things, trying to figure out what teens, you know, in the area of romance. And I don't know if you know this, but there are a ton of movies that have been made just for teens in the area of romance. Tons of them. And here's what's sad about that, is almost all of them, not all of them, but almost all of them, have at a major core the theme is sex. And we're talking about teenager romance movies. And so, you know, it shouldn't surprise us that statistics are what they are when it comes to teen romance, you know, teen relationships. There was a survey done. Over 5,000 teenagers were surveyed. 61%, listen to these statistics, 61% of teens say that they've been in a relationship. That's a lot of teenagers, 61%. 66 of high school and college students admit of having their heart broken, 66%. And it was higher for girls. 70% of that is girls who have had their heart broken. And that's a lot. 7 out of 10 girls having their heart broken before high school's over. The same survey asked what the ideal age to get married. And the average that was given by teenagers as the ideal age for marriage was 24 years old to 26 years old. So that's the ideal age for marriage. And that automatically, to me, brings a lot of questions. If that is when the ideal age for marriage is, then why are teenagers 13, 14, 15, 16, and all in this age bracket dating? What do we hope to accomplish with this? 60% of high school students plan to break up with their current boyfriend or girlfriend before they go to college. And it's the same percentage either for boys or girls. So what do these statistics mean? And why did I read them to you? Well, here's what it means. Dating is a complete waste of time if you're not going to get married to them. It's a complete waste of time. But it's actually worse than a waste of time. It's a waste of energy, it's a waste of emotions, and often it's a waste of purity, that which you cannot get back. And so those statistics are across the grid, but what about Christians? Kids are totally distracted by relationships as much today as ever. They cannot wholly serve God because of this burden of romance. You know, and as parents or adults, it's often a temptation to say, well, they're just having fun, you know. But I want you to know they're not having fun. And a parent who thinks they're having fun by giving their heart little here, a little here, a little here is deceived. That's not fun. That romance, that game of romance is a destructive thing. And you know what Paul says about that? That thing of fun? What really would bring fun to a single person? Look at verse 38. This is a general statement about what it would do for a young person if they were serving God instead of pursuing romance. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth what? Better. So here's what Paul is saying. There are certain things about being single that is better than being in a relationship. Now, you can argue with me about that if you want to, but it's going to be hard for you to argue with the scriptures about that. And if you haven't experienced it, then it's hard for you to understand what Paul is trying to say here. But look what he says in the next verse 40. But she is what? Oh, that wasn't good enough. Let's do that again, verse 40. Ready? But she is what? Happier if she so abide. So Paul is making the point here that a young person who is single, who will abide in the Lord and serve God with his or her heart and make it all about God and not get lost in the pursuit, can actually live a happier life than somebody here who is lost in some kind of a romantic, you know, pursuit, consumed with relationships. Yeah. Maybe you're like one of these Christians who allows yourself to get consumed with the idea of having a boyfriend or a girlfriend or some sort of a dating thing. And you're wanting to so badly have somebody to love and to love you. And you're wanting so badly to have somebody to take care of or to take care of you. Or you're wanting so badly to have somebody to hold or to hold you. And you want these things so badly. But what you don't understand is that if you allow yourself to be consumed with this fantasy, then you're going to be full of care and you're going to be full of distraction and you're not going to be used by God like you should and you're not going to have the happiness that God wants you to have. And so God wants you to stop with that. He wants you to learn to give your heart to Him and have faith that He can do for you what you can't do for yourself. If you serve Him with your whole heart, He'll take care of your romance. If you don't get out there and start pursuing and seeking and looking and trying to find somebody and get that boyfriend or get that girlfriend and stop living that life and trust God by faith that He'll give you somebody and it'll be far greater than you ever dreamed. But you keep going down that road that you think is going to make you happy. You're deceived. You're deceived. Because there's no happiness in the end of somebody who pursues romance, who's consumed with romance. Somebody who's made it their idol and God is now number one. Or rather, is no longer number one. I meant to have a paper printed off, but I'm going to have to make one for you because I forgot. But I know you'll be okay with that. Not a very good artist, so don't make fun of me, okay? But this is your heart. It's kind of cute, isn't it? It should be red, I guess. This is your heart. So Paul says, you think it's fun, huh, to be consumed with romance, to just be to be lost in the pursuit of boyfriends and girlfriends and you decide that's the road you're going to go down. You know, I was doing some research about this. You know what I found? That the average amount of boyfriends that a girl has before she gets married, just the average, is 15. That's just survey, 15. Now, you know, I'm sure that some are far more conservative and only had like 7 or something. But how many times a young lady has had her heart broken, shattered before she gets married? Average, 2. Each. Let's see. Can all of our men stand? Just if you're a male, will you stand? Let me see how many there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, we're just going to say 9. You're just going to represent illustration for me, okay? All right. So we're going to start over here with Brother Bob. Let's say that there's a young lady, and she started with you. She gave a piece of her heart. You can sit down. She moved to Tyler. Sit down. Brother Rob, you're next. Sean. Brother Eric. Brother Sam. Wow. Sorry about that. It's your glasses. You threw me off. You look like Superman. I almost said Superman. Brother Dustin. Brother Terry. Brother Dave. Can't even hardly tell it's a heart anymore. Listen, I know this is a silly illustration, but this is what she has left to give to her husband when she's finally going to get married, because she's given her heart away. And this is what she's going to give to her husband. Here you go. Here's what I have left. You think God wants it to be that way? No. Oh, we're just having fun. Doesn't look like fun to me. Looks like a lot of pain, struggle, heartache, emotional distress, and a bunch of stuff God doesn't want you to have, or any of us. God wants, if you're single here, God wants you to give your heart to the one that he has for you. But in order to do that, here's what you have to decide to do. Give God your heart. Give him your heart. And I want to encourage you to do that today. For those of you who are not single, you're married, or you've, you know, whatever your situation is, I appreciate you being attentive this morning. It might not be that the message was totally just for you, right? But I'm sure God maybe encouraged you. So let's do business with him. And I would say that if you're a young person here, at the least, we need to make some decisions on giving God our heart. And I want to say this, and I'm going to pray. Now, if you're single, I want you to give me your attention. All of you. Can God be trusted to lead you to a fulfilling relationship? Can you trust him? The answer to that is yes. So let's give him your heart this morning. And don't get lost in the pursuit. He'll use you. Father, we love you this morning and we thank you for the encouragement that we've had from your word this morning. I pray that you'll help us to have faith in you, God, in the area of relationships. And we'll give you the glory for how you work in our presence. In Jesus' name.